Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you whenever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in the beautiful South Texas city, Hill Country City of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joining me, the last first state to secede from the Union. His name is Troy Hall. He knows I have not yet seen Lincoln, but he doesn't hold it against me. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I am doing fine. Tough talking, Troy. Troy knows that. It is always a great day to get overtaken by even the rain, the sun still shines.
Charleston, South Carolina, representing. Troy, we were talking about this in the pre-show, and over the weekend we found out who would be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
And
it's a depressing topic. I thought we were going to talk about. I thought we wanted to talk about brand and performance.
I know.
And now you're going to make me talk about my team brand that did not perform. So
that's right. Well, that's okay though. But I think it's helpful to discuss it. I am in a huge conundrum. One of the things that I have always admired about you is you've been married a long time. You've got that thing figured out.
My wife lets me think I have it worked, figured out. Yes, there's the success.
Well, I've got a situation here with the Super Bowl. My wife, my bride, as you referred to your wife last week, is a unapologetic San Francisco 49ers fan.
I am
a Steelers fan. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, the only thing I have left when the Steelers don't make the playoffs is, oh, but we still have 6 Super Bowl wins. I don't want San Francisco to tie the Steelers with 6 Super Bowl wins. But at the same time, there is no team I despise more than the Baltimore Ravens. And, man, I don't know what to do about this Super Bowl.
And, you know, it's really interesting because when you talk about it from that perspective, what you really bring to the forefront is the connectivity that people have toward brands, and they have it toward, you know, maybe even a particular brand loyalty. And, you know, we focus on sometimes individuals who think that they have a brand loyalty. Well, just because they've hung around does not necessarily mean they have brand loyalty. And to give you an example, remember that the Baltimore Ravens is the old Cleveland Browns.
Yes,
so
and that's one
that
of the reasons I can't stand them.
And so what happened is the culture, and even though the city moved from Cleveland to Baltimore, it took and kept the culture with it. And why is that so? Because the culture is made up of the individuals, and the fans that followed the Cleveland Browns at that particular point in time that created the, I think, the issue that we have with the whole connectivity of that fan base and their reaction to games and to processes is what we dislike more than anything else, and it translates itself to the brand. And what it does is it tells you that when your brand is associated with certain actions or behaviors that are inconsistent with your value system, you now take those individual people's actions and behaviors, and you equate it to the brand. And it's almost like the way employees work. So the way we feel about the Baltimore Ravens is because of the connectivity to that brand that we make through the behaviors of the people who are the fan base.
Exactly. And, you know, my brother lives in Maryland. My brother lives in Fort Meade, Maryland. So I think ultimately what I'll do is I'll ask my brother, hey, who am I going for? I can live with the San Francisco 49ers tying the Steelers for the most Super Bowl wins. That's at least marginally better than it being the Packers or, God forbid, the Cowboys. So, I don't know, man. I've got 2 weeks to figure it out. But again,
I already have your saving grace in the conversation.
Please tell me.
We did it first.
We did it first. Okay, good, good.
There is always value in we did it first. So just keep
we
that in mind.
We did it first. That's it. Troy, you know what?
Because in our musical metaphors, what they're doing is a remake.
Yes.
So just keep in mind that they are not the original. So there you go.
They're not the original. Okay. That's awesome. For those of you that haven't listened to the show before, Troy and I are both big Steelers fans. I live in Texas. Troy's from Ohio and now lives in South Carolina, but we are huge Steelers fans. I do the show wearing a set of Steelers headphones, and of course the Steelers did not have a great year, did not make the playoffs. They lost that game to that perennial NFL loser, the Cincinnati Bengals. But anyway, the Super Bowl's coming up, and you've heard me talk about the conundrum I'm in, but as usual, Troy clears it all up. Okay, hey, listen, next thing. We talked about this in the pre-call as well. I love Gwen Stefani. If you don't know who that is, she was the lead singer for No Doubt and still is. She had a great solo career back in the mid-2000s, and one of my favorite songs of all time, I'm Just a Girl. When we did that show, Troy, where we just played music, we just played songs, mm-hmm. I picked the No Doubt song. I love Gwen Stefani. I saw a commercial this week on a show called The Following, the big Kevin Bacon Footloose, Redux, whatever, and it's Gwen Stefani talking about how much she loves her Windows phone, and I was heartbroken, Troy, because I thought Gwen Stefani was an Apple girl.
Yeah, nope. She obviously has now shown her true colors.
So that's been difficult.
But I do have to tell you, the good news about Kevin Bacon being on TV is that the game show lives. So there we have 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I now have new connections to Kevin Bacon. I'm so excited for the next time we get to play 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Did you watch the show? Did you watch The Following?
No. Are you kidding? I'm in a PhD program. I hardly have time to go to the bathroom, let alone watch television.
And I watched it. I was compelled to watch it by my lovely bride. And my reaction was, seen it. 24, Homeland. I've seen this. It's just not interesting to me anymore. You know what? This is embarrassing because I graduated in 1985 at the height.
Wait,
of the whole...
embarrassing that you graduated in 1985? Is it like you should have graduated sooner? Or
well,
it's embarrassing that you're something you're going to tell me later that occurred and so you made this incorrect connection?
No, I did, though. I was from that Kevin Bacon Footloose generation, so I tuned in.
Okay.
I tuned in to see what was going to happen, and my reaction was, man, I've seen this. This is – the suspense isn't there for me. The acting isn't there for me. I would rather go back and watch some old sitcoms on Netflix or Hulu than watch this. But obviously, if there's a big audience watching the show, you know, I always tell you, I'm different. My generation is not – you know, Generation Y, the baby boomers, we're not a big generation. So I'm not always sure my opinion reflects lots and lots of people, but I was not, you know, inspired to watch that show again.
Right. And again, it's here you have generational preferences that you're speaking about, which is really great for folks who are trying to glean some, you know, really good information. I mean, here we are taking these innocuous topics, and what we're doing is we're actually bringing to life learning lessons that can actually, you know, come together with them. So, you know, what you speak about here is an expectation from a generational preference that you have, and you also looked at it from, this is Kevin Bacon is a brand, and the kinds of things that he's involved in
exactly.
Sort of like made you think like, yeah, wow, this is going to be really cool. And then you get to it and you go, wow, you didn't deliver the same brand experience for me that I was expecting to actually have. Now, new folks, and so then how do companies survive under this? Well, because you have a whole new generation that doesn't even know Kevin Bacon, who doesn't know all the suspense has been there, done, you know, it's been done before. They may not have followed 24. You know, remember, the good news is the population grows and ages, you know, as we go along. So a whole new group of people may be introduced to Kevin Bacon who was never introduced to him before.
That is absolutely right. That's right. I asked you one time on a show, gosh, this must have been 2 years ago. I said, do you have any weird, you know, pre-show rituals? One of my big pre-show rituals is my office has to be perfectly clean before I can do the radio show. So I'm doing all the dusting and going around and stuff like that. And on a shelf, I find the first season of 24 in the whole, you know, the DVD, what is it? The DVD gift box or whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, man, I remember when this was so cool. When this was so cool to have. And of course, now you can log on to Netflix and watch 24 all day. You don't have to drive to the video store. No, that's absolutely true. I said, I'll sit down and watch this show. Let me see what happens. A lot of people did. I bet it's going to have big numbers. And my one takeaway wasn't about the show. It was about how Gwen Stefani broke my heart by becoming a Windows fan. But anyway, hey, we'll talk about that. But most of all, we'll talk about how if your brand were a band, we really leave the audience wanting more. I might have to tune in next week to the following because my wife's going to make me, but if it were up to me, nope, absolutely would not. So we're going to talk about the building blocks of any brand through the prism of music, time and key signature, and we'll do it right after this. All right, you are back on the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? What he does is make sure the people in Charleston, South Carolina want more of a life simplified. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, my next question for you.
Yes.
Last week, you talked about the different phases that people interact with the brand. You talked about, I've heard about you. Now I'm going to get my car and drive to you. And you talked about encountering the culture of the brand. For
yes.
me, that moment is the live performance.
That is correct.
What are some of the things that credit unions, banks, any business needs to do to make sure that first impact, that first encounter is memorable?
Well, it is not done by realistically any one thing, but it's done by a connection of a lot of small things, and it's a process that we call connect the dots. And so what you look for are the details, and you make sure that no detail is left unturned. You have to approach your brand the same way you would your household, and you think of your brand the same way as if you were inviting guests or even if you were inviting family to your home. How would you treat them? How would you treat that experience? And if you take a very casual laissez-faire approach, then you may end up with very casual laissez-faire results. So it is really those detail pieces and looking at it from multiple perspectives. You have to assume that your brand is the center of a glass sphere, and you are going to have to look at it on all sides. If you think of your brand as being flat, one-dimensional, then you'll end up with flat, one-dimensional results. The only way to make it really exist in a multidimensional environment like we live in is to consider it. And one of the ways to do it is to apply the five senses. Absolutely think about the five senses. How would you touch it? How would you smell it? How would you, taste it? You know, how would you see it? Any of those that create those five senses, those are the areas that you need to look at for your brand. Ask those questions. Make sure you understand the details. That's how you do it.
I absolutely agree. When we did the first show of the year, the Power Performance, a show, by the way, we just had over 1,200 archive listens. I still can't believe. I remember back when we first started, I was happy to have 50 listens every week. Well, I listened back to that show, and we were talking about how do you keep people wanting to come back? How do you make that first touch point, that first tangible thing feel right? Well, like a lot of people, we have a major grocery brand here in Texas. We have a major grocery brand in Walmart. And so people kind of make those two choices. Am I going to get my gallon of milk at H-E-B or am I going to get my gallon of milk at Walmart? Well, I'm an H-E-B guy. I don't like going to Walmart. It's not my thing. But I was at my grocery store at 7 o'clock, you know, when they open, and Troy, the details were not good. It seemed dirty. The people working there stocking the shelves looked like, you know, they had all posed for a picture with a number under their chin. I was just sitting there going, what would it cost me to start my own garden? How do I get my own, you know, whatever to feed my family? It was just very, very disappointing because.
And you know, and the thing about it is it's not the people's fault. You know, many times when people will say, you know, like the experience wasn't a good one, like you may have just described those individuals, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea. The fact is that the leadership failed those individuals immensely. That you would have that particular experience, they have failed. Because what the reality is, bottom line, it boils down to leadership each and every day. It is my job to make sure that I encode messages and I ensure that people decode them. It is my responsibility
exactly.
to set
exactly.
expectation and to inspect the expectations that I have set. So therefore, I have allowed that experience to occur for you. And it wasn't that that person had a bad attitude. I am the person
no.
who put that person in that job. I am
no.
the person who is responsible for supporting that person in that job. Anything that the way that person comes across, that is my responsibility. I have to be accountable for it. And when leadership doesn't take accountability for it, then their brand experience occurs exactly like what you just described.
Exactly. When we set up the show this week, we talked about Music 101, the basic building blocks. If you've ever had piano lessons, if you've ever taken violin lessons, guitar lessons, been in a band, been in an orchestra, you are familiar with the concept of time and key signature. The time signature is, this is the beat of the song. It's in 4-4 time, it's in 3-4 time, it's in 6-8 time. And if everybody is working and practicing and performing in that time signature, the audience loves what they hear. And then you have key signature. This is how we're going to sound to the audience. And if everybody can get around that, we might have people that come in and out of the brand, both as employees and customers, as long as they understand what we're trying to project to the audience is a safe and clean and efficient environment to buy milk and eggs and soda, whatever. And today at 7 o'clock, when they said they're within those parameters, you know, time and key signature, it was like being in zombie land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was absolutely different. Well, anyway, time and key signature, the building blocks. One of the things you talked about last week on the show, again, the chronology of engagement. People hear about your brand. Okay, I need a loan for a car. I need a loan for an RV. I need a loan for whatever. I'm going to go apply at this, you know, South Carolina Federal brand that I've heard so much about. When they get there in their car, when they get there online, when they get there on the phone, what are some of the things that you need to keep doing so that those same people turn around and say to their friends and people at church and people at work, man, this is a cool brand to do business with?
Well, one of the things that we do is focus on what type of business are we? And we begin by identifying that we are a relational business. And we, and part of our sales process is on needs based. So therefore, that really takes the heart of the leadership or of the relationship into account, meaning that we're not just simply going to put people into products that they don't want, or we won't put people into products that they might first come and ask for, because that would be an order taking environment. We actually will participate in a conversation to just qualify them so we can consult with them. So that it's really clear on what we're doing. I'm sure you've heard of the company Kodak.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so when we do some of our training sessions and we ask the question and we say, tell me, what was Kodak's business? Invariably, people will respond and they will say, well, Kodak was a camera company, it was a film company, it was a printer company. And I'm saying, no, you missed it. They missed it. Kodak's business was keeper of memories. And what happened is Kodak forgot that. The way Kodak may have delivered keeper of memories was through a product line called camera, films, and printer. We are a relational business, and what we have to remember is that is where we build it. It's built on the connectivity, and for us as a credit union, it's a cooperative. It's a collective use of the people coming together. It wasn't a bunch of checking accounts that got together or a bunch of savings accounts that got together. It was a bunch of people who got together who said, I have a need. And how we solve those needs are through financially related products. But if we forget and build our brand on financially related products, we will end up being the next Kodak. So we must build our brand on the relational aspect that comes with the core of our business. Yeah. And that's how we do it.
I know. I went during the break, over the Christmas break, I listened back to a lot of shows, and I remember going back to that, the whole concept of Kodak. I don't remember which show it was. I think it was the show where we played just songs. We played songs on the radio that we liked. But you talked about that, how Kodak forgot that it wasn't about their products. It was about the experience that people had.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
yep.
you printed out my pictures. I've got these, you know, albums with glossy prints of all my favorite birthday parties and weddings and memories and stuff like that. The last thing I want to talk about today is, again, going back to the concept of time and key signature, the building blocks of a great song. We talk about on the show, if your brand were a band, how would you keep the audience wanting more? That is your brand. That's the strategic vision of the brand. But what you do every day in the lobby, in the drive-up, in the call center, that's your song. What people hear every day, it's either something that they, oh, wow, that sounds good, I want to hear more of that, or, oh, I don't think I want to hear that again. And you've talked a lot about how, you know, even after all the stuff with social media and Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, if you can get a 27-year-old mom who came into a branch at South Carolina Federal Credit Union just to apply for a loan on an RV or a second mortgage, and she enjoyed the experience, it was clean, it was inviting, it was friendly, if she tells two or three of your friends, you've kept the lights on for another month.
Oh, absolutely. And again, a lot of the experience of brands live in that word of mouth world. And today we simply call it viral marketing, but the term that was used primarily in my generation was word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
And
word of mouth.
You actually wanted to make sure that if anybody was going to speak about you, that they actually spoke favorably and therefore created a positive experience. And you know, it's clear today that people have strategies that say, well, any time that people talk about your brand is a good thing, so even the negative. I like to think that those things were created by people who didn't have positive things to talk about, and so therefore they tried to justify why people would talk negative about their business, and they've lulled us into believing at some point in time that even when a consumer talks negatively about your business, it is advertisement. I like to think that that's not necessarily true, that the type of advertisement that you put in place is one that extends the type of relationship, the type of behaviors, the type of culture, the type of brand experience that you want to have, not that you get to take credit for the fact that there was a lousy experience and so somebody talked about it, so you go, oh, well, at least they're talking about us. I just think that's all messed up. So I'm going straight out telling you that, you know, if you want those experiences, you want to connect the dots, you focus, you be in control of the brand. You don't let somebody else be in control of the brand. And if you're doing those experiences right all the time, then I guarantee you that it will continue to do that. Because when you talked about, like, the drive-through experience and
exactly.
The branch experience and all of that, that timing is what we call the channel connectivity. So whenever your consumer comes in contact with you in your variety of methods of delivery, that's your timing. So you want your timing to be the same. You don't want the timing of the music to be different at the, in my case, the ATM versus
exactly.
The drive-through versus the branch versus the telephone. We want an integrated experience where we're all working on the same sheet of music and therefore we're playing at the same time. And if you have a key change, then guess what? It's an orchestrated key change.
Exactly.
It's not a, oh my gosh, I made it up on the spot.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's my point. That for my part, when I look out there in the marketplace, even if it's just my experience as a customer of a bank, not somebody who works at one, or my experience as a member of a credit union, not somebody like you that manages a big brand, my point is that I pick the time that I want to engage my brand. And what surprises me that in 2013, going to the drive-thru, going there in person to get, you know, cashier's checks and negotiable funds and stuff like that, that's as common as calling the call center. That pretty much I check my balance a couple times a week. It's online, but when you weigh it up against the times that I see commercials for my bank or I go in person to my bank, I don't want it to be overdone. I think what you're saying is the thing that has changed so dramatically is that people decide now. They pick the time and key signature. They decide how often and how much they want to hear about your brand. And what I don't see out there in the marketplace is a lot of people who understand that.
No, they don't. And what occurs is you either spend your efforts and energies in one area or another. And I'm suggesting that for that encounter experience, you have to be the kind that morphs people into the environment is that the timing and the key change and all of that is all orchestrated. And
exactly.
When you talked about your concert and you said that your concert was like an encounter experience, what I would remind folks is that how you know whether you have a good encounter is if people are lip syncing with you on the song.
Exactly.
And if they pulled out their lighters. Or they pulled out their iPhone with a lighter app on it. Now,
they know you.
Have occurred, yeah, you know they've morphed
they
into
know
you.
You
because
they
now
know.
All of a sudden they're like, dude, they're like right there with you.
Exactly.
If that does not happen, and guess what? That is a great visual cue. You really know. And what we try to focus on is if you know that this person left upset because it was something you said, even though what you said was absolutely daggone downright policy, procedural,
yep.
whatever driven.
Yep. Exactly.
We escalate that to the supervisor who gets on the phone and tries to reach out or gets on an email or gets onto whatever, depending upon the preference of the consumer, and tries to reach out to them and says, hey, listen, I understand you were with Bill today and may have left upset. If you did, I would like to reach out to you. If he misunderstood any of that, then fine, have a great day. You don't need to call me back. And so those are ways in which you then can extend because you take ownership for the brand, and that's what you have to do. And you have to teach ownership of the brand to each and every person who lives and breathes it. And I will tell you that of a survey of the top 10 things that cause a brand to be successful, the number one reason that a brand is successful is because it is based on the truth. It is based on honesty.
Honesty.
And
yep.
So what's happening is that you are delivering exactly what you say you can. You are 100% true to it. The second element that you need in order for the brand to be successful is you need senior management support. The brand cannot exist just because the lowest level individual who has the face-to-face responsibility in the organization actually goes out there and is dressed in the right colors and may say the, quote, brand expression of the day. It is not it. It has to be lived and breathed from the senior management perspective. And the last thing is the owning it and the living and breathing it. Everybody has got to have it. It's got to be like the skin that is on your bones. That you don't even think of leaving the house without.
Exactly. Hey, listen, folks, when we come back, we're going to sign off. It's under 2 minutes to go. But, I mean, think about it. You go out to these conferences. You go out to these trade shows. The information you're hearing right now is so absolutely right on. Stop overthinking what you're doing. Just think about those folks that come in and do the transactional business with you as an audience. That want to be informed and inspired and entertained, and you'll never think about your brand the same way again. Hey, we'll wrap it up right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
That is right. You are back on the Power Performance. Jason and Tough Talking Troy. Troy, thank you so much. Great show. Great discussion.
Hey, you're welcome, man. I love this stuff. I'm so happy. So it's going really great. So, and I got to run now, man, because I am going back into a sales rally. Where we brought
sales
in
rally.
Sales rally. 19 of our leaders, our sales leaders, are together in this room. It is electrifying. I took a break so we could do our show, but I have got to get back. The excitement is building in there. I hear laughter. I hear clapping. I hear music. Man, I got to leave your show. I got to go over there and do that.
Hey, man, you guys have a great week out there in Charleston, South Carolina. And from here in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, we want to remind you, look, you are putting on a live performance each and every day. Get out there, be passionate about what you do, be thoughtful about how you portray your brand. And if you're honest, if you're inspired, people love what they see, people love what they hear, and we'll talk about it every week. Wednesday, high noon, East Coast time. Talk to you soon.